are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. On today's episode, we'll be recapping the weekend sweep over the Cincinnati Reds. And what a huge weekend it was. We'll also be getting to a good bit of news here in the first segment, as we had a lot happen over the weekend, mostly injury-wise, and then we'll preview the rest of the week for the Brewers. Before we get into that, as always, I want to remind you about our Locked On MLB Prospects podcast, especially with the draft just wrapping up. Now it's a good time to check it out, give it a listen, especially if you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects. This is the prospect for you, and this is the podcast for you, Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton. Is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Like I said, I want to start off with some news because we had a pretty good bit of injury news over the weekend. First and foremost, maybe the most surprising, was Devin Williams going down on the IL with right elbow discomfort. Came as a little bit of a shock, especially coming out of the All-Star break. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be anything too significant. MRI revealed no structural damage, which is great. And counsel noted that it shouldn't be a lengthy absence, but certainly taking an abundance of caution here with their eighth inning guy and Devin Williams. Angel Perdomo was recalled to take his place on the roster. Perdomo has been lights out at Nashville lately since coming back from his latest injury stint, so maybe he'll get a good shot here with the Brewers and be able to replicate what he's been doing down in Nashville lately up at the big league level. That would certainly be huge. As we've noted on here a lot on the podcast, Perdomo has all the stuff and the makings there to be a high leverage back of the back end of the bullpen type guy. Just hasn't been able to really put it all together yet. So hopefully this is kind of a coming out party for Perdomo as he gets a shot here. And then we'll talk about it when we get into Saturday's game. But Brad Boxberger is listed as day-to-day with shoulder stiffness. So that's not great, as he was probably going to be the guy to take Devin Williams' spot in the eighth inning. And then he is now day-to-day as well. But hopefully it won't be anything too significant for him. The one thing this does tell us, and we already kind of knew this anyway, is that one of the Brewers' deadline targets needs to be another back-end bullpen arm. And maybe just not one. They may need a couple in the back of the bullpen. But I think the Williams injury and how Boxberger just kind of further drives that point home, especially leading up to the deadline. I mean, I think Stearns and staff was going to be looking for bullpen arms anyway. Every contending team will be looking for bullpen arms. But I think, you know, I think they definitely should be going after a high leverage arm or two now, you know, to try to not just feel those injuries. Neither one of them seem to be significant, but I mean, even those two have been kind of shaky at times this year. You know, I think they should be going out looking for a high leverage arm regardless. But again, these injuries just kind of highlight that fact that, you know, they need somebody else for those seventh and eighth innings. It's kind of some insurance. So again, hopefully that will come in the next couple of weeks, along with a big bat to help out the offense, which offense didn't need any help over the weekend, which we'll get into later. Speaking of which, Lorenzo Cain could be coming back soon to help out the offense. He played all nine innings for the first time on Sunday with Nashville. He went 0-for-3 in that game with a walk and a couple of strikeouts. He's only 3-for-18 in his rehab assignment with AAA Nashville. All those hits were singles. But you don't put too much stock into rehab assignment numbers, especially for somebody who is a veteran like Lorenzo Cain. He is just working on getting healthy, getting back to full strength where he can play nine innings like he did on Sunday. That's all you're really worried about right now. And all minor league baseball teams are off on Monday, which I can't stand because now the Brewers are off all of Monday and don't have minor leagues to watch. But it sounds like Cain will stick around in Nashville for at least a few more games. So I take that to mean he could potentially be back by this weekend series against the White Sox. But there's really not a huge rush right now, especially with, Bradley's been hitting the ball much better as of late. But, I mean, honestly, the offense hits the way they did over this past weekend. They'll be just fine, but I certainly want Cain back as soon as possible, and it sounds like that could be this coming up weekend against the White Sox. That would be my guess right now. Then a couple of other injury items to get to with some pitching prospects for the Brewers. Ethan Small was shut down for at least 2 weeks, they said, with a strained tendon in his, I think it's his index finger, on his pitching hand, one of the fingers on his pitching hand. He'll be shut down for 2 weeks. That's certainly a bit of a bummer. I like Small a lot. I think he could also work his way into a bullpen role with the Brewers in the second half, kind of like what they're doing with Ashby. If they wanted to go that route with Small, I think they could. But this is certainly a setback for that and for him as well, as he just got called up to AAA not long ago. And then Antoine Kelly, one of my favorite pitching prospects for the Brewers. He has been out most of the year after having thoracic outlet surgery back in November. He's working his way back and is now with the Carolina Mudcats down in Low A. So good to hear that for Antoine. Hopefully he can get back to his dominant self and reestablish that top prospect status that he had before the injury. And again, he was one of the prospects I was probably looking forward to seeing the most for the Brewers coming into 2021. So unfortunately had the surgery, hasn't been able to get out and get much work in. Didn't have anything, last year, obviously. So really excited to see what he does. I saw he tweeted out himself that he's a little rusty. That's certainly to be expected. But expect big things from Antoine Kelly in the future. And then Tuesday's game was moved up to 3:10 technically p.m. in order to allow fans to watch Game 6 of the NBA Finals, which, unless you've been sleeping under a rock lately, the Milwaukee Bucks are up 3-2 in the NBA Finals with a chance to clinch it at home on Tuesday. So that certainly is pretty neat. Somebody asked Christian Yelich if he was going to be at the game, and he said possibly. So I could have Yelich in the house. I think he'll definitely be there. Wouldn't be surprised. You see a lot of Brewers fans and staff and coaches there. Certainly a great time for the city. Glad they moved the game up. Give the players and the fans a chance to be there to support their team. So either way, it's going to be the last NBA game of the season in Milwaukee. So certainly take a chance to go see that after the Brewers hopefully wrap up a win on Tuesday against the Royals. We'll come back and we'll recap the big sweep of the Reds. Before we do that, let me tell you about betonline.ag. They are the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You got Game 6 of the NBA Finals on Tuesday. You got Major League Baseball's second half in full swing again. But betonline.ag does more than that. They also cover awards. They cover TV shows and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag on your phone or internet browser and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So the Brewers get a huge sweep of the Reds over the weekend, and this is after dropping 3-4 against the Reds to end the first half of the season. And I talked about how big that was because it essentially gave the Reds hope going into the second half. Got within 4 games of the Brewers. You thought maybe the Reds might buy at the deadline and give this thing a run, and then the Brewers come out and just sweep them and take all of that confidence, all of that momentum, and flush it down the toilet for the Reds, which is exactly what they needed to do, exactly what we would hope that they would. And now the Brewers have opened up a 7-game lead in the NL Central, with the Reds still being the second-place team. The Brewers are up 9 games over the Cubs and 9 games over the Cardinals. It is the second-largest lead in all of baseball. Actually, the White Sox hold a 8-game lead over the Indians in the other Central, in the AL Central. So pretty interesting there that the Central divisions are being ran away with right now. And you know, the Brewers right there at 56 wins. They're 2 wins behind the Giants and Dodgers for the most wins in the National League. I mean, can't be more happy with the way the Brewers came out of the gates swinging, really just putting their foot on the gas pedal. Couldn't have been happy again with the way that first half ended, especially with a couple of those games being really, all of them, honestly, being really close. Could have gone either way. Had some stuff go against them in that series. They take the break, come back, and sweep the Reds. And we'll see how the Reds respond now. That's going to be interesting to see what they do. 7 games back, and they kind of came into this season in sell mode. We all thought they could be potential sellers at the deadline. I mean, if you look at the wild card, they're 5.5 back of the wild card, so I guess they still have a chance there. But I mean, the way the Dodgers and Padres and Giants are looking, I mean, it'd be surprising if all 3 of those didn't make the postseason. So, I mean, the Reds are the closest team to the Padres, so you know, right now they don't have to jump anybody else. So I think they probably consider themselves still buyers at this point, consider themselves in it even after getting swept. But that certainly does some big things in the division. And now the Reds have to go to the Mets, who are, you know, the best team in the NL East, obviously. But DeGrom is banged up, probably won't pitch in that series. And the Mets just lost 2 out of 3 to the Pirates and had to come back on Sunday to avoid getting swept by the Pirates. So we'll see how they handle that series. Then they got 3 against the Cardinals and 4 against the Cubs and finish the month against the Mets. So a pretty tough stretch coming up for the Reds here. We'll have to see how that plays out. This week's probably going to be a big week for all teams who are kind of on that bubble there. You really want to have a good idea of what you're doing going into next week with the trade deadline coming up next Saturday. So let's go Mets, I guess you could say, and try to bury those Reds and make the decision easy for them to be sellers at the trade deadline. And hopefully the Brewers won't have much competition the rest of the way. But let's recap that series really quickly. The offense broke out in a big way, scored 11 runs, 7 runs, and 8 runs in this series. And it was needed, especially in the first 2 games. The pitching gave up 6 and 4 runs in those games, which is a lot for the Brewers pitching. That's kind of arrogant to say, maybe, but with the way the pitching has been this year, anytime they give up 4 more runs, you know, me and Vinny have talked about it, that's, you know, usually a game this offense doesn't win. So to be able to give up that amount of runs and still be able to win, putting up an 11 spot and a 7 spot in those first 2 games, that's pretty impressive and pretty good for this offense. And they did it scoring late, you know, early in the year. It's like they would score in the first inning, in the second inning, and then we wouldn't get anything after that. And this, you know, these games, they were scoring a lot of their runs late. They scored 24 runs in the 5th inning or later. So that's really good to see that they're able to put up some runs, get some add-on runs later in games. That certainly was huge in winning this series, sweeping this series. Wong coming back was huge. He got on base 5 times in those first 2 games. before sitting out on Sunday, giving him some rest coming back off the IL. Willie Adames just continues to mash. Like, we talk about him every day now, it seems like, and just how huge he is for this team. But he had 8 hits over the weekend with 7 runs batted in. Just absolutely ridiculous. And then Luis Urias had 2 hits in every game over the weekend. Those two honestly have stepped up so much since that trade. It's really huge. I mean, everybody talks about Adames, and yes, he's been unreal since the trade happened, but so has Urias. He's been really good as well at the plate, and it, you know, crazy to think that the trade was made to essentially supplant Urias. It was mostly because of the defense at short, but he also wasn't hitting very well at that point either. And, you know, since essentially being replaced and had not for injury, Urias would probably be on the bench a lot of games, but he has, you know, responded well to that and not let it affect him at the plate. If anything, he's gotten better. Certainly the results are better. So he continues to swing a good bat. But maybe best of all for Brewers fans is that Yelich was starting to show signs of life over the weekend. Had 4 hits on the weekend in the sweep. Had 2 walks, scored 4 runs, drove in 3, and had a home run. And I knew he had been in a bit of a power funk here lately, but I did not realize he only had 6 home runs on the year. I was scrolling down through the box score and saw the 6 next to his home run, and I, you know, had to go check the stats somewhere else just to double check, make sure that wasn't a misprint. He has 6 home runs on the year, Christian Yelich. That is absolutely crazy. That is a home run every 40 at-bats this year. Last year, he hit a home run every 17 at-bats. And the year before that, every 11 at-bats when he hit 44 home runs in 2019. We've talked about it on here before. The power from Yelich is just not there this season. I mean, even last season in 2020 when he was struggling, the power was still there. He just hasn't been giving that for whatever reason this year. But hopefully this was a sign of him breaking out of that, providing some of that power. Either way, definitely a positive weekend from him. We'll take that going into the second half. Hopefully it's the beginning of him breaking out and being huge for this offense in the second half. That's what we talked about. That's what we need to happen. And then a crazy game on Saturday. So the Brewers had a 3-2 lead going into the 8th. Like we talked about with Devin Williams out, Brad Boxberger came in, gave up a game-tying home run, and then left with an injury. This was after a rain delay in which Jake Cousins struck out a batter, and it took 45 minutes to do so because of the rain delay. Kind of a weird time for them to pause the game there. I mean, it was raining pretty good, but you kind of would like to see them at least finish the inning, at least finish the batter there. So that was really, really curious decision. But anyways, Jake Cousins continues to do well. But Boxberger came in, gave up the home run to tie the game up, and then the game goes into extras, and the Brewers' bats finally do break out, and they get the win in 11 innings. On the pitching side, Brandon Woodruff was really good on Saturday. He ran into some bad luck. Had some missed calls that didn't go his way, which led to a couple runs in the second inning, one of them being unearned. His pitch count was way up there. Yes, he had some bad luck, some balls that probably should have been strikes, but he also just wasn't very sharp early on with the command. Walked 4 batters in the game. But, again, this is what great pitchers do. We talk about it all the time. He ends up going 5 2/3 innings. I honestly was going to be shocked if he made it through 5 innings. He goes 5 2/3, strikes out 8, only allows 2 hits and just those 2 runs. Again, only one of them being earned. So really great stuff from Brandon Woodruff. And then Corbin Burnes must have heard me go on the Cold Brew podcast and say that he was the 3rd best pitcher on this team statistically wise in the first half. And apparently he took that personally. He came out and absolutely dominated on Sunday. The Corbin Burnes that we're used to seeing struck out 12 batters in 8 1/3 innings. I mean, The Reds had no chance on Sunday. It was really just the nail in the coffin to that series, hopefully to the Reds' season. Adam McCauley tweeted this out. Corbin Burns' outing on Sunday was the Brewers' first start of 8-plus innings with 12 strikeouts since Giovanni Gallardo did it in 2010. And it marked the 11th time in Brewers history a starter went 8-plus innings with 12-plus strikeouts and no more than one walk. So really great stuff from Burns on Sunday. Love to see that. Take another quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap this one up. Show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your chocolate chip fudge, or cookies and cream. It's a bunch of different flavors from almond toffee to mint. Obviously, they have peanut butter fudge and dark chocolate raspberry. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a unique taste and something that tastes good as well. They're not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Has a soft middle, so it's very easy to get down. They're very good, they're very tasty, and they're great for you as well. Most of them only have about 5 net carbs. So whether you like to take them before a workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. Can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Again, just go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. So the Brewers are off on Monday, which is a bit unusual coming out of a 4-day All-Star break. And they're also off on Thursday, and then they're off next Monday. So the Brewers have 5 days off in the second half of July, which is just kind of strange scheduling. But they also had, you know, what played like 36 games in 37 days coming into the break. So I don't know why they couldn't give you a couple off days back then, but whatever. We'll do what we do this week. So with all the off days, please send any questions that you have for me and Vinny to Locked On Brewers on Twitter. We'll be sure to answer those. But after the off day on Monday, they'll have a 2-game set with the Royals. The Royals swept the Brewers in a 2-game set earlier this year. The Royals were playing pretty good baseball coming out of the gate and then have, you know, fell off after that. But Brewers need to get some revenge here and get those 2 wins back. Hopefully they'll be able to do that on Tuesday and Wednesday. Looks like the pitching matchups are Mike Minor versus Eric Lauer on Tuesday, and then Brad Keller versus Brett Anderson on Wednesday. I know Adam McCauley had an article out talking about them wanting to limit some innings for some of their young starters in the second half. A lot of them have topped out at about 145 innings in their career. It's the most they've thrown, especially Freddie Peralta. So that's why Freddie's not, you know, pitching to start the second half. Probably won't pitch until the first game of that White Sox series. Going to try to limit his innings and the innings of some of the others. Why they've been going with a 6-man rotation, which is why it's so huge that Eric Lauer has done what he's done. And now Josh Lindblom's pitching pretty well at Nashville. So if, you know, somebody else went out, they had a replacement there. But those are just big innings. I can't tell you enough how huge those innings are with saving some of these young starters. And that's why it's also so big to try to put this division away so they can kind of coast in the second half and have their young starters be rested up and ready to go for the postseason. But can't get ahead of ourselves just yet. Still have a lot more games to play, but only 25 of the remaining 67 games the Brewers have are against teams over 500, so it's still a pretty favorable schedule the rest of the way. But you got to take care of business. Like I said, can't let your foot off the gas. Hopefully you got a big trade coming for a bat and another bullpen arm here before the trade deadline, just to set this team up to continue to succeed down the stretch. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball. And also make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.